This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from two Democrats running for State House. Coming up, Kalamazoo Township Trustee Pamela Brown Goodacre, who is seeking the seat for the district that includes the city of Kalamazoo. But first, there will be a new representative in Michigan's 62nd State House District next year. The current representative, Kate Siegel, cannot run again because of term limits. Three Democrats are running for the open seat, which includes the city of Battle Creek. That includes Battle Creek City Commissioner Andy Helmbolt. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by Jennifer Bowman of the Battle Creek Inquirer.
Thanks for having me.
Andy Helmbolt, why don't you begin by telling the audience a little bit more about yourself and briefly tell us why you're running for State House.
All right. Thank you. I've been a resident of the district, a resident of Battle Creek for 15 years. I'm originally from northern Kent County, north of Grand Rapids, rural small towns up there. Went to college at Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant and then moved down here for a job after graduation. I have a degree, a BS in education degree. I started off as a teacher. I taught in public schools for 3 years as a junior high social studies teacher. Left that to go into business for myself, doing graphic design, websites, photography, all that kind of sort of marketing and getting the word out stuff, mostly for other small businesses and nonprofits in the Battle Creek community. And over time, you know, getting to know my new adopted hometown, starting to be involved in more things in the community, serving on boards, commissions, you know, volunteering and different things like that. You know, start to get the town more, get to know where the power is and isn't. And then eventually marrying that with my, you know, social studies background and deciding to run for public office. So I have been on the Battle Creek City Commission as an at-large city commissioner representing the whole city for 2 terms now. And then with this, you know, with Kate's seat coming open, I want to make sure that we are sending somebody good to Lansing. You know, I'm going to keep fighting for the people of the 62nd District, making sure we have, you know, high quality education for every child, no matter who they are, where they are, who their parents are, where they live, and that we have a healthy economy that works for everyone. And that's, you know, the doors of the state of Michigan are open to everyone to be happy and successful.
Jennifer Bowman, first question for Andy Helmbolt.
Let's jump into roads. Lots of complaints, maybe not as quite as many proposals to solve those complaints. Calhoun County townships, we've got an estimate to get all those roads in the townships to good condition. That's $284 million. Do you have an answer for filling the potholes?
For $284 million, I don't have a single answer. No. There are enough bake sales in the world, right? You know, we've seen lots of proposals, you know, at the state level. We've seen those, you know, our townships, our local townships looking at ways of funding their own work on their own roads, which I think is definitely a commendable way to approach the situation. Clearly, the state government has failed itself and its people over the last couple of decades in allowing the roads to deteriorate to the point where they are now, where we've dug ourselves an incredibly expensive hole. So it's going to take an investment by the taxpayers of Michigan to get ourselves out of this. And I think it's going to necessitate, you know, a variety of revenue streams being dedicated to roads. And I think one of the largest problems is that just even structurally in the budget, here, take this money and put it into roads without any regard of, well, what does it cost to maintain our roads? We need to kind of work backwards and say, here's what it costs to maintain our roads, or even not just roads, but to educate a kid, let's say. And here's what it's going to cost. Here's what it ought to cost to deliver a quality service and infrastructure to our people. And then say, okay, then if that's what it costs, then here's the revenue we need to generate and put that dollar amount out there and say, here we go, you know, people of the state of Michigan, this is what we need to pay for the roads that you want to have. You know, and as we've seen, the details of that, I think, are a combination of, you know, an increase in the gas tax. That seems like it's going to be part of the solution, which I think is appropriate. Clearly, people are with a flat amount, you know, with a flat tax on gallons of gas, are you in the amount of gas being consumed dropping, then, you know, we're paying less in taxes. There's less revenue going into that in that stream. And so we need to make up that difference with a structure that actually, you know, a tax, gasoline tax structure that, you know, actually serves to maintain that revenue source.
Should there be an increase in vehicle registration fees to perhaps make up for what may not come through the gas tax as people find more fuel efficient cars?
I think it would be fair to look at that as well. I think we need to look at it in ways that that's have fairness in mind, and that's, you know, we have really high weight limits for trucks. We have the penalties for exceeding those limits could be higher, you know, which all kind of folds into if you're putting a vehicle on our roads and you're responsible for a lot of the wear and tear on those roads, and you benefit from those roads, you know, more than someone else. We should have, you know, a fairer sliding scale of what it costs to run a vehicle on our roads.
Jennifer?
Personal property tax reform. There is a proposal on the August ballot to replace that revenue with a portion of the use tax. Is that the way to go, especially with Battle Creek and all the manufacturing facilities we have? What do you think?
Yes. I'm in support of repealing the PPT. We've been given reasonable insurance assurance that that revenue will be replaced for our municipalities. Still not there. The way it's structured is not a 100% guarantee, but that's the intent. And, you know, for the sake of, okay, let's figure this out together, I'm willing to go along with that for now. You know,
would you have voted for the increase in the minimum wage, which was approved in the legislature and then signed into law by Governor Snyder recently?
Yes, absolutely. I think it was long overdue to be raised. If we're going to have a minimum wage that says if you're employing people in our communities, you ought to be paying them a wage that we don't have to subsidize with other government, you know, programs. That's fair. But I'd like to have seen it a little higher, sure. But, you know, it's part of government is compromising, coming together, and nobody gets exactly what they wish for. And so I was supportive of it.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Andy Helmbold. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination in Michigan's 62nd State House District. That includes the city of Battle Creek. The current representative, Kate Siegel, cannot run again because of term limits. And Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is also here. Jennifer?
I'm staying on the topic of minimum wage. I mean, you're aware of the proposal to have it higher than what was approved. Wouldn't have taken your chances? Would have voted for that? Taking that compromise that was put together instead of saying, hey, let's see what the voters have to say?
Yes, I would have voted for it. Because like you say, it was a compromise. You know, people from across the aisle came together to vote for it and said, okay, here, this isn't what some of us would like it would be. It's way more than others would like it would be. Let's take the deal and move on, and we can always, you know, keep working together on the future. I like that it's indexed to cost of living, which it hasn't been in the past, which sort of at least builds in some annual increase. So, I still would have been in support of it.
Let me ask you about a couple social issues. Sure. Should the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act be amended to include protections for sexual orientation and gender identity?
Absolutely. I'm proud of the fact that I led the effort to get an ordinance, local ordinance in Battle Creek passed to provide those exact protections for the people of Battle Creek. And it absolutely should be a part of our state civil rights law.
As of now, the ban on same-sex marriage in Michigan is being decided in the federal courts. But if it were up to you to wave a magic wand, would same-sex marriage be legal in Michigan?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, number one is my belief that it would just be right, decent, moral thing to do. I know there is, we do have a ban as a result of the vote of the people. And I know that the previous candidates you've had in here have sort of, I guess, hid behind that argument. But my view is we don't vote on rights. Part of the beauty of the American system of government is that we have democracy, majority rule, but in a way that protects the rights of minorities. The people of a state, you know, shouldn't be allowed to vote away someone's constitutional rights to equal protection under the law. I represent the people of Battle Creek, but my oath of office, it doesn't say anything about will of the people. It says, do my job and uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America.
So from where you sit, the judge in Detroit did the right thing.
Absolutely. Struck it down. Absolutely. I think my view since the people of Michigan voted was that it wasn't a constitutionally acceptable thing to do.
Jennifer?
What about religious rights? Those who are opposed to same-sex marriage have that argument that my religious rights need to be protected. Is there room for that?
Absolutely. If you are a member of religion that doesn't believe a certain type of marriage should be, then your church doesn't have to perform those marriages. And I think that religious freedom argument cuts both ways. For the most part, we're talking about Christianity, and Christian beliefs gets the most attention. That's probably the most. There are certainly other religions at play here, but there are Christian churches who believe morally and with a strong theological background that gay marriage is perfectly acceptable. So why shouldn't those churches be able to perform gay marriages if they want to? That cuts both ways from a religious freedom standpoint, I believe.
But let's deal with perhaps the more complicated issue, as some people would see it. The landlord, who is the member of the church that doesn't believe in gay marriage and holds those beliefs very strongly, and a same-sex couple comes to his door and says, we'd like to rent the apartment that you say you have available.
Well, now you're getting back into the arguments for the Elliot Larson, the civil rights, protecting housing, employment, that sort of thing. I think we did away with, colored only drinking fountains in movie theaters and that sort of thing. And I think this is the same thing. If you're going to do business in the public marketplace, then there should be, a minimum level of, here's what it means to do business in that marketplace. Here's what it means to do that business in America, is that everyone is welcome in that marketplace, and you shouldn't be, prohibited from selling your labor, from consuming goods and services, rentals, because of that. Now, I think in what we did in the Battle Creek Ordinance and what has been common in all the local ordinances we've seen is, I think it is fair and appropriate to provide exemptions for entities that have a religious purpose, churches. If the purpose in what you do is religious and the purpose of you existing is to worship and promote your religion, then I think it's fair, for your employees who are doing that work to have to subscribe to that religion. And that's a pretty common exemption in the local ordinance we've seen and would be fairly easy to work into the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act.
Should marijuana be decriminalized or legalized?
Legalized completely? I'm not too sure about legalized completely. Kind of torn. I see both sides. Alcohol is legal, smoking is legal. Why not marijuana? But I think we are in a little bit different area there. But decriminalization is a route I definitely think that we need to take. The quote-unquote war on drugs in America has been an ongoing failure for decades now, and clearly criminalization of drug use has not worked. It just doesn't work. Not only doesn't it work in its practical application, it disproportionately affects people of color and poor people. And in any kind of system that has that kind of effect, we need to look at and say, this is not right. It's not going, it's not doing anything for us. It's damaging us rather than helping us. We need to focus more effort on drug abuse, from a health, addiction, and recovery standpoint, rather than just criminalizing it all.
Andy Humboldt, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Jen.
Andy Humboldt is a Battle Creek City Commissioner. He is running for state representative in Michigan's 62nd State House District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. And we want to thank Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Pamela Brown Goodacre is a Kalamazoo Township trustee and one of three Democrats running for State House in the 60th District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. Current Representative Sean McCann is not running for re-election, so he can instead run for State Senate. Pamela Brown Goodacre, thank you very much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
We're also joined by Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Pamela Brown Goodacre, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself and briefly why you're running for State House.
I was originally born in Kansas City, Missouri, and my father got a job at the Upjohn Company in 1974, and we've been in Kalamazoo since then. My family has been in Kalamazoo since then. I am a mother of three sons and married to James Goodacre for 15 years. I am a graduate of Western Michigan University, go Broncos, and a bachelor's and MFA in English creative writing. And so I also studied at Wayne State University, where I in the English Film Studies Department. So I have taught part-time at Western K College, KVCC, Wayne State, and Henry Ford Community College. And right now, for the past 5 years, I am a part-time lecturer at the University of Michigan, which I will start my class in a few weeks. I became a trustee for the Kalamazoo Charter Township in November 2012. I was the first person of color, African-American, to be voted in. And it's been an exciting time. I'm also the only woman on the board. And so it's been an exciting time. I've learned a lot about governing and at that level and at what needs to be done. And it's just been a pleasure. And I've grown a lot, learning a lot about how to govern.
Alex, first question for Pamela Brown Goodacre.
Pamela, you mentioned in your candidacy announcement that you're an advocate for sensible gun laws. Would you have supported a package of bills that were recently passed by the House and Senate that would amend the Michigan Handgun Act to exempt gun ownership forms, permits, and licenses from Freedom of Information Act requests?
Absolutely not. I think that we need stricter gun control laws. As you can see, what the violence that we are experiencing in our community now, which is really, really, really tragic and sad, that most of the guns that are even lawful are used against women and children. So we really need to get a control of this and stop becoming a violent culture and protect our citizens. So I am for stricter gun control laws. And even though we do own several guns, it is something that that should be in the hands of people who are going to do the right thing by them and protect other people with them.
How do you figure out who that person is that's going to do the right thing and screen them out from the person who is going to do the wrong thing?
That's a very difficult process, I think. That would be the first step, would be to have to check and make sure that people who are not having mental issues should not be able to take out a gun. And there should be a process of when you buy a gun, that you should maybe take out a form and then a process of seeing checks on who should have guns and who shouldn't. Not enjoying this that anyone can have a gun and that this happens to people.
Alex?
What are your thoughts on the recent minimum wage bills signed by Governor Snyder that will raise the minimum wage to $9.25 by 2018? Would you have preferred to see the issue go to the ballot for the $10.10 per hour that the petition drive was seeking instead?
Absolutely. I think the will of the people with the ballots, that with the petitions, stated that they wanted it to be $10.10, and that's what should have been done. I'm very disappointed in that. I think it's a step, but I would have liked to see the will of the people and it gone to the ballot. And at that, we can take this step. We can, but I'm really for a living wage and have been for a very long time.
Given the political realities, do you feel that this was a fair compromise, the 925?
One thing that I've learned as being a politician is that you do have to take these kinds of compromises. But One thing that I do for sure is never give up on my goal, never give up on the goal that we were striving for 10-10 and for a living wage that people can support their families and live on and not live in poverty.
If you had been in the Michigan House at the time that bill came up for $9.25 an hour by 2018, would you have voted for it?
I would have had a very difficult time voting for it because it does sublimate the will of the people. And I have a difficult, other than that, raising the minimum wage from $9 to $9.28 by 2015, it's
2018.
I probably would not have voted for that.
You said that you're in favor of a living wage. Is $10.10 an hour your definition of a living wage?
No.
What would be Seattle's minimum wage?
That would be great. Seattle's minimum wage. And I say this because I have worked as a single parent with three children. And at one time, I worked in minimum wage jobs. And at one found a job where I was paid $11 an hour back in 1989. That made such a difference in our lives that I was able to get an apartment. I was able to, one of my biggest things that I was able to do was buy furniture. I could save and buy furniture. I bought my first brand new TV. We had health insurance at that time too, and we had dental insurance. So I was able to provide for my children. And I remember going and buying school clothes and buying shoes and walking my three children in, and I was able to buy school clothes and I was able to buy shoes. And we went to the shoe store and came out with not only shoes for them, but a pair of shoes for me. And so I totally understand what is needed because I've been there. It's not like it's something I'm talking about from afar. It's somewhere that I've lived in and walked in.
Just so I get a number out of you.
15
an hour,
yes,
is a living wage. Okay. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Pamela Brown Goodacre. She's a Kalamazoo Township trustee, and she's one of three Democrats who's running for State House in the 60th District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell is here as well. Alex?
Pamela, Governor Snyder has spoken about possibly examining expanding the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include protections for LGBT citizens. Is that something that you'd be in favor of?
Absolutely. And at the township level, I was totally in support of our non-discrimination ordinance and including, because we did not have a non-discrimination ordinance when I came on board. And that was one of the things that I championed, and especially inclusion of LGBT, our LGBT community.
The federal courts are apparently going to decide whether or not Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage stands or whether it's unconstitutional. From your standpoint, do you think same-sex marriage should be legal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And will be legal. It's only a matter of time. And so hopefully it'll be sooner than later. And I would definitely vote for it, yes.
I should note we are speaking on Thursday, June 12th. Last night or early this morning, the state Senate was not able to come to an agreement on a plan to increase funding for Michigan roads. Perhaps by the time people hear this, that will have changed. But what would be the plan that Pamela Brown Goodacre would put forward for funding infrastructure, road and bridge improvements?
Oh, that's a difficult one. At this particular point and at the township, we are working on assessing. We are working on assessment for our miles of roads that we need to fix. I see that one of the things that the state wants to do is to take money from the sales tax or increase the gasoline sales tax. I think that would probably be the best way to go.
Vehicle registration fees, would you favor increasing those?
I don't think I would in favor that. I think that they would like to do that, but I think that it impacts some people negatively.
Wouldn't raising the gas tax also impact some people negatively?
It would, but yeah, I guess I would have to think about that. Even though I've thought about some, I really would like to see how it impacts poor people and people who are struggling as a whole to fix our roads, but we definitely have to figure out a way to do that.
Alex?
Pamela, as municipalities throughout Michigan have taken measures to make marijuana enforcement a low priority or to criminalize it altogether, in states such as Colorado and Washington have full-out legalized it, would the decriminalization of marijuana be something that you'd be in favor of? And if so, would legalization be something you could ultimately support?
I would be in favor of decriminalization, and legalization would be something that I would support.
What steps do you think would need to be taken to get to legalization? Do you think statewide decriminalization would be a good first step, and then possibly examining legalization down the line? Or do you think that jumping headfirst into it, like Washington and Colorado have done, would be the better step?
I'm not sure which would be. I would have to study that a little bit more, but I know eventually that the goal is that we legalize marijuana. I would vote for decriminalization because certainly the issue of 50% of police stops that we saw in the paper that were of marijuana related. That is a concern. And eight out of 10 of those were African-Americans. That's a real concern of mine. So I would like to see the decriminalization of marijuana. And then we can regulate it like we do alcohol. You know, that's what I'd like to see. And tax.
All right, we're down just a couple of minutes left. We have interviewed both of the other candidates who are running in this race, and I think someone who's listened would say that there's pretty broad agreement between the three of you on a lot of issues, things like minimum wage, road funding, amending the Elliott-Larsen Civil Rights Act. There may be some difference in details, mm-hmm. but broadly speaking, you're on the same page. So what are things that the voters should think about then when they're picking between the three of you? You know, what separates you? What are the things that, if it's not necessarily position on issues, what should stand out to them?
I think that that would be why I would run in this race. And I was looking around and seeing a lot of things that need to be changed. And I am definitely invested and a stakeholder in this area. My family moved here. My parents are buried here. My grandchildren, my children graduated from Kalamazoo Public Schools. My children graduated, and myself and my mothers and my sisters graduated from Western. We live here. We know from the bottom to middle class life what is going on, and I have an ability to see this and have an experience of knowing how to, what we need. And I don't have to ask that because I'm a stakeholder here and have been a stakeholder for a long time and will continue to be a stakeholder here. On the other side, there are things that have to be done, and the status quo is one of the reasons why I am running, because we have to get in and change things for the new millennium. And if people are looking to move us to in the direction of progression and technology and science, and then I'm your person. I'm the person for you, because I work with new millenniums, and I have to, and I know that what we need to do in order to move forward.
Pamela Brown Goodacre, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Pamela Brown Goodacre is a Kalamazoo Township trustee. She is one of three Democrats who's running for State House in the 60th District, which includes the city of Kalamazoo. And thanks again to Kalamazoo Gazette reporter Alex Mitchell.
Thanks, Gordon.
Longer versions of the interviews on West Southwest can be heard at wmuk.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Thank you.